Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Golden Boot Pod is proud to announce that merchandise is now available. We have everything from t-shirts and hoodies, to hats and beanies, to drinkware, to wearables and blankets. You can find it all under the merchandise tab at thegoldenboot.podbean.com or go directly to thegoldenboot.com. As always, thank you for supporting the Golden Boot Pod.
The views and opinions expressed in the Golden Boot Podcast are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Golden Boot Podcast as a whole. Let's try this again. Welcome back to another edition of the Golden Boot. It's your boy Pooh Bear. I got my man Aunt Petty Murphy in the building.
What's happening?
I got my man Daniel D. Williams in the building. And Chris showed up to work, y'all. PTO over. How everybody this evening?
I'm good. How you doing, bro?
Everything good, bud. All
right. So we got a few things to get into. First off, boom, boom, boom. I want to hit this. The LSU team has announced and launched the Baton Rouge NIL Club. Basically, what it looks like is the players have gotten together and formed a collective for their own, where the fans can all chip in. They'll get digital access to the players, just some kind of, you know, say exclusive things, and the money will be spread out throughout the athletes. Have y'all seen this, and what are y'all thoughts?
I like it, bro. This is just another avenue, you know, another way that they found to use NIL to help, you know, benefit the athletes. So I'm all for it, and I just hope they keep finding, you know, more innovative ways like this.
Yeah, honestly, I'm a fan of it also. And I don't know if this was started by the players or if this was started by the coaches or the staff, but I like it. I think it's pretty good.
We got a question from the chat. Miss Aaliyah Marshall said, Daniel, why you retired and called in sick the other day?
That's funny. Yeah.
I see Rich in the building. What's good, Rich? How you doing? Hey, Rich, you gotta send some more donations to harass me. All right, there you go. Nah, man, good to have everybody here. I see Chris in here, Chris English. We got Ryan in the building, Wade, and of course Miss Aaliyah.
Yeah.
But all right. Also, so the NIL, you know, say collective or the Baton Rouge NIL Club, I think it had one. Let me say this before we move on. You can move to, you can find it on, they have a Twitter page for it. Pretty much every LSU athlete has tweeted it out. But you can go, it had, explains everything, read up on it, make a donation. And boom, there you go. Also this weekend, which kind of led to the title of this show, was a big weekend. In recruiting, players, you know, saying all around came and took part in a big recruiting event. They were all at BK House, swimming in pools, slipping slides, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it was nice.
So it was the barbecue. It's the barbecue. That's what it is.
Let
Texas A&M have pool parties. We'll have cookouts. You know what
I
mean?
Like
I
like that.
I like
it. Hey, and our coach won't burn the brisket like Lincoln.
Nah, BK look like he the type of person. He ain't gonna burn nothing. He gonna get that thing catered. He gonna get right. Him up in there.
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking that he probably somebody who's gonna get it ordered.
He probably put lemon pepper on his chicken.
What's wrong with lemon pepper?
What's wrong with lemon pepper?
Yeah. A barbecue chicken, bro. Come on.
Oh, you didn't say barbecue. You just said he put lemon pepper on his chicken.
Yeah. Not the different wings, man. They good. Barbecue chicken. Yeah.
Rich said NIL is ruining college football.
Yeah.
I don't see
no,
that.
No, it's not.
It's not. Hey.
Man, come on, guys. Come on now.
Get out of here, Boomer. Oh, do you want to take no, this? Is that the hill you want to die on, Chris?
I got to do it, man. Y'all know I ain't an NIL fan, man. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me why not, Chris.
Because you're going to have guys that going to school. I know ain't going to come back with it. They got a transfer portal. But you got
I'll take this one. Go ahead, Chris.
But you got guys going to school that they might not necessarily want to go to because of NIL. Okay. Then, you know what I mean? You got kids going to play for money. That's the whole point of going to college.
Chris,
go to the NFL and make money.
Chris, hold on, Chris. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference? What's the difference in a kid going to a college that he don't want to go to so he can win a ring, and a kid going somewhere he don't quote unquote want to go to get a to get money? Mm. I mean, kids doing that now anyway.
Good point.
And then let me ask you this. Do you think that kids just started going to school for money when NIL happened, or you don't think that they've been doing this for a long time? But
they had certain players that was doing it for. Everybody wasn't getting it.
That's true. Everybody ain't gonna get it now.
Exactly. Everybody ain't getting it now. So what's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Honestly, the transfer portal is worse for college football than NIL.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do.
Nah, I don't agree on that.
I agree, bro.
Because people been getting paid.
I just
want to
agree.
People been getting paid. I'm telling you, the only difference is, and I've said this before, now me and you can provide a McDonald's bag. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it ain't gotta be in McDonald's bags no more. You know what I mean?
Nah.
That's the only difference.
We can do Burger King. We can do.
It can be a cheeseburger. It can be a Checkers. It can be a Checkers bag.
Checkers rallies because some people don't have Checkers. Yeah,
so. Razor Canes. Shout out
it
to Razor
be
Canes.
It can be a Blue Store. It can be a Blue Store bag because you know that. Listen, bag is
look, if they'd have let me win that jackpot, man, we'd have been on the LSU. I would have gave them boys $10 million.
$10 million, Chris. Chris, hey, you would have got a stadium named after you.
Oh yeah, I doubt it. I mean,
hey, what you would have named the stadium, Chris?
I would just named the C Brown Stadium, man. Just
honey buns and cheese. That's what you
need. Nah, chill out, man. Chill out.
All right. Burger King, I give it your way.
Wow.
all right. So. To even before this event really even got popped off and started, Brad Davis entered the recruiting chat, said, "What's up, where y'all been talking about me? I'm here." He already had one commit on the offensive line, but then Tyree Adams out of St. Augustine committed on Friday. He caught everybody. Well, I ain't gonna say everybody. He caught a lot of people by surprise.
A lot of people by surprise.
people weren't ready for it, you know what I'm saying? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all ducking me. Ain't nobody.
I say this, I ain't worried about Rich. But I say this. I don't think Coach Brad Davis done yet.
Oh, I know he ain't done.
I mean, in the next week or so, we're gonna be getting another couple.
I'm gonna tell the people, if y'all listening right now, anything that Aunt Petty say, believe it. That man a wizard, bro.
Chill out, bro.
That man a wizard, bro. He be calling Jesus on his hotline, bro.
I need to call him, but not about that.
y'all didn't know he was on the main line. I gotta do is tell him what you want.
Oh yeah, Sheldon Sampson committing on the 6th too. So next week.
Hey, what's y'all predictions on that? I know we ain't on that. I just wanted to ask you real quick.
He better go to LSU if he go to Bellevue.
Shelton stays.
Bet. Shelton stays. All right.
Daniel, Shelton would you stays. Be mad if he went to Bellevue? Would you be looking around?
We'd all be mad if he went to Bellevue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. I don't think that happens though. Next up, the alums came back for a recruiting weekend. You had
some Brady, different names too. Brady James,
Jacob Hester, Dari Beckwith, and Nick Brosette. Who Nick Brosette already has that role at LSU. Yeah. So, but it was good for them to come back. First of all, it's always great for former players to come back. Former champions too. Come back and talk with the players, talk to future players.
It's always great to have a few 318 guys in the mix, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, hey, y'all be on the lookout. 318 Greats shirt's gonna be coming soon.
If you're gonna do a 318 shirt, you gotta do a 985 shirt. Only first.
You know what? We might do one for some represent your Louisiana. Areas
represent your area. I'm gonna rep the 337 since I'm here right now. You gotta do 318.
You got all the recruits down there.
Dude had a chance to come back to the 318 and then wanted to go to 337. Don't ever represent the 318 like that again, man.
Hey, people in the 318 don't want to be in the 318.
Nice. Some of them do. Some of us do.
Yeah.
Keep talking noise though. Yeah, keep talking noise though. Yeah.
Hey, before Nurse Court get on me.
That ain't even Nurse Court. Just keep talking noise. Whenever they get a recruit from the 318 in a few weeks, I don't want to hear nothing about it.
Hey, you know I'm be rapping hard.
Nope. Keep that 337.
Hey, you heard what he said, so just chill. You heard what he said. Nicholas Harbor says his official visit for the Tennessee game. And I guess this prompts the question, if you can choose a game for your official visit, which game would you choose?
Can I do two?
No, if you only get one official visit.
Okay, you only get one. Okay, yeah. If I'm a Louisiana recruit, I'm going Southern. If I'm a national recruit, of course, I'm going Alabama.
Yeah, that's good.
I think most people gonna do Alabama.
Yeah, but since I am a Louisiana kid, that Southern gang gonna be
live, bro.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I want to come to it's gotta be a night game. I would love for it to be like an Ole Miss game, like a
Florida.
7 o'clock. Florida in Florida though.
Yeah. Well, you said this year.
Yeah. I would love to go like Ole Miss. Or Mississippi State night game or something like that. Or if it was because we always end up for some reason playing Auburn during the day every now and then.
Except last year,
8 o'clock.
It's at Auburn this year though, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's at Auburn this year. So yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think what other home games we got.
We got Tennessee. I think we got Ole Miss home this year.
We got
Tennessee, both Mississippi's.
Bama.
Yeah. Bama.
Bama. And that's it.
Yep.
And then outside of the non-conference.
You got like Southern Mexico or something like that. New Mexico.
New Mexico. Yeah. Southern New Mexico.
Yeah. UAB.
Yeah.
But UAB this year?
Yep. See, that's why I can't, man. That's why I can't wait until Texas and OU get in the conference, because I am tired of those games, man.
You still gonna have them.
I mean, you still gonna have them, but instead of having three, you might have one or might have two.
It's not gonna change. Instead of having four, you may have three, but yeah, you still gonna have them.
You still gonna have them. Now, what you ain't gonna have is the Florida State, LSU, you know, them type of non-conference. Yeah. Because if I got another SEC game, I'm not finna,
Yeah.
Unless you want to get risky and bold like when Les was there. Because, we play West Virginia and what was it? West Virginia, Oregon. I'm trying to think who else the non-conference that year. It was like that. It was a gauntlet.
So. Yeah, and that season was lit, bro.
We got our man Sean Fox. He'll be joining us. He's already here. We're going to bring him up in probably about 2 or 3 minutes. Actually, after this next topic, camp starts Wednesday. What's the main thing you're looking for?
No injuries, man. No injuries. Let's get it. Let's keep everybody healthy. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want.
I want to see which quarterback going to ride to the top.
Chemistry. Secondary and offensive line. I want to see how those units gel together since we got a lot of new faces.
Yeah. I want to see not necessarily a specific quarterback, but it seems like all the quarterbacks have had times with the wide receiver. I want to see if that timing right. That's what I want to see. I want to see if that timing is right. How everything moves. Is it, how smooth is it? That's what I'm pretty much looking forward to. Offensive line too. That's all the other thing. I want to see how that offensive line. All we kept hearing last year was offense had they had a good day. They had they messed up. They couldn't handle the blitz. As soon as he said that, everything we saw all last year. That's UCLA first thing. Oh, they can't handle the blitz. Okay, let me send the whole team after the quarterback.
And you know what? And honestly, if I'm being honest, I think it's going to be an adjustment period. Mm-hmm. I think the defense, it's always like this. I think the defense is probably going to start a lot faster than the offense just because those guys up front got a gel. But I think they're going to have a pretty good group. But if I say, besides the injuries, defensive line for sure. Y'all know I'm a defensive line head. Yeah. So, I just want to see those guys.
Definitely.
You got the head part right.
You should have never made no jokes towards yourself with it.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
He wasn't using his head.
Yeah.
He was not.
Y'all silly, bro.
I be slow on it, man. I be trying to get to it. But I did say, and we showed in the top of the show, we got our man, Mr. Sean Fox, in the building. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll bring him back up. Be back in 30.
The Golden Boot Pod is proud to announce that merchandise is now available. We have everything from t-shirts and hoodies, to hats and beanies, to drinkware, to wearables and blankets. You can find it all under the merchandise tab at thegoldenboot.podbean.com or go directly to thegoldenboot.com. As always, thank you for supporting the Golden Boot Pod.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to introduce to some, reintroduce to others, our man, Mr. Sean Fox from 97.7 in North Louisiana. Is that fair to say? Is it fair to say North Louisiana, or do I need to be specific? Uh-oh, can't hear you, Sean.
Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
There we go.
Listen, guys, I got to apologize. I'm in a spare room. I got cheerleaders running around my house. My daughter, they might walk in, and I'm trying to find the quietest place western in a spare room. So
All right, Sean, quick question.
Yes.
Or not even a question. Blink twice if you need to send help. On the way. Gotcha. But hey, first off, welcome.
See what I mean?
To the Golden Boot.
Hey, guys, what took y'all so long?
Hey, you know,
27? Come on. Y'all success, though, man. It's awesome. Glad to see.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
I do want to address some. My father has stepped in. Hey, Daddy. and he says, "Where did Daniel get those glasses?" He's looking studious.
He got them from Warby Parker.
Looks can be deceiving.
He said, "Looks can be deceiving, boy."
Wow.
Let me throw this up here. If you have any questions, fire them in for Sean. Hashtag ask Sean. But Sean, first off, Sean, let me say this. You gave great advice. We talked to you the night before we went. Me and Aunt went to.
Can y'all hear him? I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, you good? Yeah, you're good. Can you hear us?
I can hear y'all perfectly. Just making sure y'all can hear me.
Okay. Okay.
Power over here. Okay. Sorry.
No problem. Before we went to swap meet the night before, you talked to me and Aunt, and you kind of gave us some great advice.
Yes. Didn't listen to any of it.
I listened to it. I didn't use any of it because the first thing, I was calling everybody. I was like kid in the candy store.
Hey, I'm not. We was in the, we walked around one good time, and then like we were there 5-10 minutes, and Deion, Travis, son, and Shador walk in, and I immediately pulled out my phone camera and started taking video, like straight fanboy mode. It's Deion Sanders, man. You know what I mean? Like,
listen. I got a Deion Sanders story for you. Are y'all ready?
Go ahead.
NBA All-Star game. First time it's in New Orleans. I'm doing the same thing y'all are doing, right? Even though I've been to media for a while, it's like, okay, I'm walking around in the bowels of the New Orleans arena. Everywhere I pass is NBA All-Stars, celebrities. And I was going up to the, I think this was probably the day, but maybe the Friday, all the dunk contests and all that stuff about to happen that night. So this was like picture day and all these things. So there's nobody else in the arena but media and these guys. And I get on an elevator with Deion Sanders and Dominique Wilkins. And I'm just like,
I would have been a fangirl, bro.
Not like the other. And I was doing everything in my power not to mark out at the time. But, man, listen, the first time you experience these things, it's awesome. Listen, I've done it 20 years now. So, I mean, that's the difference. But no, man, like we got into these, you're doing this podcast because you're a fan. Like no matter how long I've done what I've done, I got into this because I'm a fan. I let y'all heard y'all representing 318. Appreciate that.
Just so you know, baby.
The 318 pays me, but the 504 is where I'm from. So listen, I got into this because I grew up listening to Buddy D. Down in New Orleans, I'd go to bed listening to Saints talk, and this is when the Saints were freaking terrible. But I was like, "How cool would it be to talk about my favorite team for a living?"
Yeah,
and that's what got me into this. Yes, I try to put my biases aside when I'm on the air, but I've never sit in a press box ever for a game because I'm a fan, man. Like you're gonna tell me I'm gonna go see the Saints and not cheer? You tell me I'm going to LSU game and not cheer. When I'm on the air, I'll be a professional, but I'm still a fan. That's why I got into this.
Yeah, I feel that, brother. I feel that.
All right, we got a little pettiness from the producer here. Ask Sean, who cooks better, the 985 or the 318? Uh-oh.
Well, he said 504, right?
He was raised in the 504.
Okay, can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Nah,
he can't hear us. Uh-oh, he's
we can come back to him. We can come back to him.
All right.
Hey, but look, while he's doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right, hold on. Here we go. He's back up. Let's see. All right. Oh, can't hear you. Hold on, mute it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, tell him to take yourself off of mute.
I'm back.
All right.
There we go.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no problem. Good,
this is just my way of trying to come back. I'm sorry.
It's listen, it's a lot of TikTok going in there. That's a lot of bandwidth.
That's exactly what it is. Dude, if I went to go throw a camera on there right now, there'd be six different girls on six different phones doing six different TikToks.
Oh, man.
Quit TikTok!
That sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
It's every day in my life. That's why I'm bald and got high blood pressure.
All right, Sean. So let me bring the question back up to you because we had a little pettiness from the producer. He says, who cooks better, the 985 or the 318?
Come on, guys. There's I mean, I've got some great restaurant sponsors, and listen, they can throw down really well, but I mean, you have to go out of your way in the 504 and the 985 to find a bad meal. That's the best thing. Don't go to a chain restaurant.
You can throw the 337 in there too.
No doubt. I mean, 337 is better than all of them. This is the best state in the world. There's no doubt about that. So yeah, I would slight lean to South Louisiana, but we got some good places up here. For real.
Facts.
Yeah, you got a couple. For real.
251. Yeah.
Them pools, bro. Hey, listen. I'm a little biased. He got a point though.
If you don't use cayenne pepper in your food, I don't want to eat it.
Cayenne pepper, you know, is that all you use?
I'm just saying it gotta have some cayenne in there, not just salt and pepper like they're doing the 251. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have some garlic.
They fry their chicken and water in the 251.
Right.
First of all, Chris, I know you don't even drink water, so you don't know what water is.
I got water right here.
And clear lemonade.
You can still put vodka in a water bottle. Hey, I speak from experience. I did it last night on paper. I called a fight on pay-per-view last night. First time I've ever called an MMA fight in my life, and I can promise you, it was not water.
Yeah.
Fox, what did you think about that fight last night, man?
The Nunes fight?
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see it. I was there was a local fight up here in Monroe at the Monroe Civic Center, our local MMA promotion, and it was on Fight TV. And guys, I'm gonna be honest with you, and I was drunk last night. So, but this is the first time anytime I've ever watched MMA, whether I was there or watching on TV, I've always been a couple drinks in. This was the. I was so far out of my element, but it was so much fun. I would definitely do it again. But like going from calling football, basketball, and baseball to MMA, which. Again, like I like it, but it's not something I watch religiously. It's usually, big fight, Brock Lesnar or Ronda Rousey or Daniel Cormier's fighting. Sure, I'll order it. And I'm three or McGregor. I'm not somebody who's watching all these that are, I mean, it feels like it's on daily. I'm not that guy, but a lot of fun. I didn't answer your question. I just didn't get a chance to see it. I went watching that, doing that, coming home, watching SummerSlam. Yeah, I'm a wrestling mark. In fact, I'm taking time away from Ric Flair's last match ever to spend time with you guys. So
we truly appreciate it.
No, I'd rather do that and watch that 75-year-old man die in the ring. So
you mentioned calling football, so let's kind of get back on topic here. You called every one of the man's games.
Everyone.
How good is Trey Holland?
Best running back in the state the last 2 or 3 years, regardless of classification. I don't care who just signed with who. I've seen every single one of these kids' games since the eighth grade. He's the real deal. He is the perfect blend of power and speed. And you've heard me talk about this 1,000 times on my radio show, guys. Go look at his numbers. I don't have it in front of me, but you've probably seen. Go look at his 2020 numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said the best in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes, sir. Regardless of classification, he's been the best Uncle running back Williams. In the state.
Puka went in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, no, Puka's been
about 5 years ago.
Yeah, okay. No, in the last 2 or 3 years.
I told y'all that wasn't water, but go ahead.
Hey, but Fox. Let
no judgment. You. Yeah.
Real quick. So, what's his comparison? I mean, what's his comp?
He's small and compact, like a Clyde. But I think he's faster, and if you put him at receiver, he's a natural receiver. You put him at safety, he's a great safety guy. I've seen both Mannings play in person. Charles Scott, Randall Mackey was unbelievable. Ruben Rand. Right. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do this for a long time and see him. He's in the mix as best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you could say, 3A. He does it against 5A competition. Union plays 2 or 3 5A. I watched him rush for 300 on Wichita. But I was going back to his 2020 season. Guys, he put up those historic numbers, and he only played and they made it all the way state championship. He might have played in half the games. He was getting pulled because Union was winning so much at halftime or the third quarter. It could have been worse. his bar was so high last year, and Ann, you've probably heard me share this story 1,000 times, where here's 1,001. It was, I don't know, two games in the season, and I turned to my the color analyst, Chris Snell, and I said, Chris, man, Trey had an off night. He goes, man, you're right. He had 180 and 3 touchdowns.
Jeez.
I finally said, like, if it's not a 60-plus yard touchdown, I don't do his calls service anymore. It's like, there goes Trey again. It's just what I'm used to. Guys, there's just some people who have that it factor. He has that it factor. And I think it's going to be why I think he could play early. As I mentioned, he can receive really well. There's times if Union's tied or down late in the ball game and they need to get down the field, and obviously it's you can't run the football, they'll spread him out wide. And listen, more times than not, he's going to make the play. He's a special, special talent.
Hey, I think this is Chris English from the chat.
Thank
says
you, Chris. Yeah.
320 carries, 2,800.
And that's about 8 full games.
And 34 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Wow. Sean, so one of his flaws, you think, with his size would be blocking in the pass game? Or what you think?
I never said he had a flaw. Pound for pound, he's the strongest player on the team. Look, guys, I don't hype many people up like this, but he's just that one dude. The size is all. If you haven't seen him play, the things that are going to be a knock is he's small. He is. I mean, he's not the biggest guy out there, but he's strong as an ox. And they'll say the level of competition. He's special. I don't think he's got a flaw. I think he is somebody. I don't think he's going to go in and start right away. But do I expect him to come and contribute? Yes. And I'm telling you, if he wanted to play safety, he could play safety at the next level too. And I'm anxious to see, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Joe Spadafore yet, the head coach of Union. And last year, their starting quarterback, Cole Dyson, went down. He was a senior, and in those games, Trey stepped in and played quarterback. And it wasn't great because, I mean, he's a running back, right? But we've seen so many times in the state of Louisiana, and the quarterback play from the high school level is getting considerably better. But what we used to do is you would just take the most talented player and you put him at quarterback and let him do his thing. Well, they did that with Trey, and it makes the most sense. You want the most talented guy to touch the football as much as possible. And the first time they threw him out there, it wasn't pretty. But week two, week three, considerably better. Now, obviously, he runs the ball better than he throws, but he did play baseball. He was a great right fielder. He was a great baseball player. He's got a good arm. If you go back to the state championship game against Sterlington, late in that ball game, he threw a deep pass down the left sideline. The ball was originally caught. Replay in the Superdome, not the rest of the regular season. They said he was out of bounds, but that would have set Union up on about the 20-yard line. It was a beautiful throw. This is a long-winded way of saying he may play quarterback this year. If that's the case, I'd naturally expect his numbers to dip a little bit, but I don't know yet. I personally, from a selfish standpoint, I hope they keep him at running back because that's what he's going to play at the next level, but they may put him at quarterback this season. So if you see the numbers drop, that's probably going to be why.
Yeah, and as far as the level of competition, like you said, they played Wichita, they played Captain Shreve, you know, with Kendrick Law and
Airline.
He was the better athlete on the field whenever they played against Kendrick Law.
Not even close.
I actually don't think 3A competition is bad as people think.
When
you look at the team that's competing year in and year out, and
well, the people in the state of Louisiana know that because they know about, you know, the Madison Preps and the Unions and Sterlington and stuff. But you know, when you got outsiders looking in, they think, oh, 3A, it's not 5A, so you know, he don't play anybody. But
well, and you mentioned Kendrick Law, and I'm not going to try to hate on the kid because he didn't go to LSU personally. I wish he would have because I saw him last year, he's a talented guy. Was he more talented than Trey? Not even close. And I'll go back to something on that in a minute. But there was a play in that game. I think Trey had an 80-yard touchdown run called back because of a hold. And on that run, he trucked Kendrick Law to the ground. The only time I've watched a game and said Trey's not the best guy out there was and this is what made me think of it. You mentioned Madison Prep. Quincy Wiggins. Mm-hmm. Was a man among boys, and Zion Chris,
the quarterback.
Quarterback out of Madison Prep, who ended up signing with Lafayette. Mm-hmm. That was a very, very talented young man, and I'm going to say underrated. And I know the Raging Cajuns got a good program going right now. I thought that was a guy who could play at a much higher level, but That was the only time I've watched a game and said Trey might not have been the best guy out there today.
So the Lake Charles College Prep from his junior year, I think it was a sophomore year. When they had Citizen, they had another guy too who ended up. They had a couple D1 receivers.
No, they had Solomon. They had a kid, a couple signed with Grambling, a couple signed with Tech. Yeah. Lake Charles College Prep.
Yeah, they had
Eric receiver, Franklin. Yeah. Yeah. Eric Franklin, who used to be a wide receiver at Louisiana Tech, is the head coach there. I know they got in a bit of trouble last year, so they couldn't make it to the postseason. But that is a talented, talented bunch, loaded with high school. No, Citizen wasn't even on. It wasn't close. Wasn't even close.
I was wondering why they wasn't in the playoffs competing.
Yeah, that's it. Because I think they got punished. Okay. And Citizen's good, but I mean, you watch. I mean, again, you could say, "Oh, Fox, you got a bias because you call those games," and I'm not going to deny that. But I'm pretty honest too. I kind of have to be in my job. A Citizen's a good player. There was not one point in that game I thought he was better than Trey. In fact, I mean, they were really known for throwing the football. Now, the Citizen had a couple big runs, but now I was more impressed with their passing game. And I think I want to say their quarterback may have ended up at Grambling, but no, they were a fun team for sure.
But the guy that went to Shroma, I think he was better than Citizen also.
May have been. Was it Moss?
Yeah, Moss. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He ended up going to Miami or A&M?
A&M.
Citizen went to Miami, yeah.
So Chris English put these in here. It says career numbers through his junior year. 923 carries, 7,829 yards, 108 touchdowns. That's 8 yards per carry. 46 receptions, 734 yards, 8 touchdowns.
He's all right.
Let me ask you this. Since he's played from eighth grade on, are you worried about wear and tear in it with him?
Well, the good thing is, I mean, look what I told you. He sat out a lot of games.
Yeah,
he has gotten a lot of carries. But I think he's kind of that guy that's built for it. Like I said, he's short, but he's stocky. He's compact. I see so much of Clyde, but I think he's faster. And here's the thing, Ann. I do think he's going to be able at LSU where he's not going to be.
Oh. They start TikTok again.
Yeah. He's gonna have to use that panoramic gate Wi-Fi to turn the internet off.
Yeah. Hey, there he is.
Hey,
can't hear you, Sean. All right.
Yay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can you hear us? We can't hear you.
Is this mic muted?
You're
muted. Oh. Poo, can you unmute his mic?
I can't. He has to mute. Unmute himself. All right. There you go.
There we go. Did y'all? I was talking about Jaquarius Donald. Did y'all catch that?
We missed that one.
Okay, Jaquarius. One of the reasons Trey's also his numbers weren't as big this year, but it goes back to the point you just asked me, Ant, was he shared the backfield with a fullback named Jaquarius Donald, who, I mean, guys, listen, this was nothing fancy. This is I formation. Fullback dive right up the middle. And this kid went for over 1,000 yards. Jeez. And so that did take a little bit of the wear and tear off. He has for most of the time. He puts up big numbers, but they are such a run-heavy game. There are other people who get to carry the football. So, and I think when he gets to LSU, I mean, how many times, even when you have a great back like a Fournette or a Geis or whoever, a Clyde, how many times are you having to do it by yourself? It's usually a running back by committee. And obviously, I think the same thing is going to continue.
Especially with Frank Wilson. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we know you, like you said, you've been doing this for 20 years. So let's focus on, I guess, the last few.
Okay.
Your thoughts between this current staff and the previous staff?
I mean, look, 2019 was maybe the greatest team of all time.
Yeah.
And I thought it was such a great story because we throw out coaches get hired and they say dream job, and I want to gag and throw up because everybody says it. I'm like, sorry, man, Ball State ain't everybody's dream job. You know what I mean? And you hear that everywhere. I really do believe Ed Orgeron, this was his dream job. I mean, we all know Louisiana, like, we're talking about down in the boot. I mean, he was at the Roots. Like, his ass really is a Bayou boy.
Right.
And to see that guy from that culture win a championship, it does not get any better than that. But look, I hate to get in anybody's personal life, but what was the consistent thing that we saw with Ed Orgeron the first couple of years that he had that job? He got off the bus. You see him on the sideline after the game doing the Go Tigers. Who was standing right next to him? It was his wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Notice what was missing the last couple of years?
Yeah.
And sometimes there is a stabilizing force that we bring in. I don't know why they got into the – well, I might, but, I mean, it's not my job to speculate.
Right.
But long story short, even Mike Dettillier, who knew Coach Orgeron for years, his eye got off the ball. It's like he worked his ass off so much to get that championship, and he finally got it, and he forgot. And, look, I think that's kind of human nature sometimes, and what separates Saban from other people is Saban is – he never looks happy. You look at him win a championship, and he's like, I'm on to the next one. Well, I mean, I knew O was in trouble last year when he kept referring to 2019. Dude, we love 2019. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You've got to move on. So I think he took his eyes off the ball, and I think a little bit, not just him, but the rest of the staff did that. And look, when you're winning and you do things that Ed Orgeron and Les Miles do, it's funny, right? We love it. It's funny. That's our guy. Well, when you're losing, you become a caricature, and people aren't laughing with you anymore. They're laughing at you.
Yeah.
And that is what happened. It's sad because I liked them both, and they both won championships. But this program, and listen, there's been numerous issues where it felt like, you know, the players had maybe too much power and too much control, and they were too much player coaches. This is one of the most talented rosters in the country, and it has been for a long time. But you know what it needed to be? A little bit buttoned up, a little bit more disciplined. You know what? And I know people are laughing at Brian Kelly now in certain ways, and I think it's kind of eye-rolling, and it almost feels like people are going out of their way to try to make something out of nothing. But I just think this is the closest. Like, you're not going to be Saban until you put up the results that Saban has. But if you get a guy like that, a buttoned up professional program with these players, you could have something really, really special. Because I do think Brian Kelly, in a lot of ways, is wired like Nick Saban.
Right. You know what, Fox? If I could also say too, man, it took 20 years for LSU or for the new coaching staff to take down what Saban built 20 years ago, as far as that standard.
Yeah.
And I mean, if BK can come in and do the same thing, man, I think we're going to be okay.
And I also think you're looking at, there are certain guys that I think if you look at who the character, look, character matters, guys. Character matters in the locker room. I'm not telling you they don't want to go out and get the most talented players. Look, go look at who's got the most 4- and 5-star kids every year. They're usually in the top. Like Alabama, there's a reason they're good every year. They're winning the damn recruiting championship every single season. So that does matter. But you also can just go recruit stars, and the minute crap goes bad, they become bad locker room guys.
Yeah.
And that stuff festers all the way down. I think you're looking at them recruiting a different character kind of player. And that, again, I think that does matter. It might not be the 5-star kid. It might be the 3-star kid. But he's a good kid. They feel like they can develop. And, again, I think character matters. And I think that's one of the biggest things that Brian Kelly's looking for in his recruits right now. And also, you mentioned, let's go about the staff. The first thing that was brought up was, is it going to be a fit? Well, I had Jerry DiNardo on my show the other day. That dude was from Brooklyn. Saban was from West Virginia. Les Miles was from the Midwest. The only person who, quote, fit, we just fired. No, okay, so the only thing that people care about here is what are you putting in your water or your cayenne pepper? What are you doing with that? And are you going to win football games? That's all they care about. We don't care where you're from. But I thought he did a great job of mixing guys that he's comfortable with, his guys, with guys who are familiar with the state, like a Cortez Hankton. Like a Joe Sloan. And more importantly, like the godfather of recruiting in this state, Frank Wilson. So I thought he did a great job of blending the staffs. Again, Sherman Wilson as well. And also, my God, how many people freaking work in the recruiting department right now?
Good point, too.
It's crazy.
Yeah. That's one thing I think he's going to do better than Ed Orgeron is hiring a staff, too. I think people want to come coach for him.
And I like Mike Denbrock a lot. I mean, everybody, we always remember what we see last, and they're like, well, look what they did against Alabama. I was like, well, look who a lot of people look like against Alabama.
They did really good. So
I rewatched that game today.
It was on today.
I rewatched it today, and, man, there was some key third down passes where the receiver was open, he just dropped the ball, or they had a good play call, but you know Will Anderson comes off the edge on, you know, and you just left tackle just couldn't do anything with him. But he didn't call a bad game.
That LSU is going to regret that. AJ Allen might see significant playing time this year for Nebraska. Yeah, that's a good.
I thought
player.
He probably started. He could have started, well, not started, but got playing time at LSU. I think.
He was that good last. That was a. That was very Trey-esque what he did at Neville last year. I mean, he carried that team, and that's a proud tradition. But he got behind Will, and obviously running behind Will Campbell and Zalance Hurd helps. But that dude in the open field was pretty special too.
There was times though, as good as Will and Lance are, there were times though when he kind of made sugar
something out of nothing.
And he and especially that West Monroe game for sure.
Now, Sean. Also, I got a quick question too.
North Louisiana around it.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I know you up there in North Louisiana. Man, Ant was on Facebook and they did a top 10 Neville players. Shoot, I don't know many Neville players, but I say, man, you got to put him in the top 10 already. Out one season, he got to. But hey, that's how good I thought the guy was. I know you done seen some good players come through Neville, man. That's just how I felt.
No, Neville has got that was my competition, so I did not hear that or see that. But I'm just kidding. They were, but no, they did a great job with that. No, AJ is definitely in that mix. John Diarce was awesome.
Oh man,
in high school, Robert Lane was awesome in high school. Robert ended up going to Ole Miss. Unfortunately, he had originally signed or committed to LSU, but they ended up getting Jamarcus Russell instead. Kind of worked out. There's some Neville and West Monroe guys. There's a reason they get so much hype up here is because they do have so much great tradition. And you look at the amount of NFL. I mean, we're not talking about just college players. You want to talk about the amount of NFL players. And I'll throw Rustin in that mix too. Yeah. Rustin may have the most impressive mix of NFL players come from there. So yeah, we got three great real powerhouses up here.
Fans to play quarterback too much at the next level. So well, he did, and now at East Mississippi, he started the whole.
He put up big numbers there.
He started the whole, last chance shoot thing. He kind of started that trend. But if people don't really remember, he gets all the credit, him and Ruben, of course. But
D'Angelo Benton.
But that man, look at the line. The guys they had on the Dick Contavious, Aubrey, Josh Downs, Jones. They had some
good D1, running backs.
They had let me tell you
this.
Trenches.
Let me tell you this, guys. I mean, of course, I think I was a sophomore in high school that we played. Those guys had gold teeth. One of the guys had a grill in his mouth, bro, and had a grown man beard.
That was scary. We weren't checking. We weren't checking IDs.
This is nuts. Yeah, that team is very talented, man.
Shout out my man Carter.
My
said,
God.
Foxy. So if y'all ever get a chance and want to study film breakdown, Carter is the man. He is the absolute
best. ADD doesn't do that, so that's why I watch Carter.
Exactly.
that Bashford team was. I ain't gonna
they
lie.
Were fun.
Yeah, that was one. Honestly, you could. I said a story all the time. I went to the Bashford Neville 08, and it was at Bashford. And during the game, they raffled off an autographed Randall Mackey football. I have never heard of a high school player getting an autographed raffled off. And then they announced it over the PA system, and he breaks the huddle and is walking to the line like this. Whenever he hears them announce that they're auctioning off his stuff, man, like that, they were different up there, man.
Let me tell you how spoiled they got. Because remember, they were on like a 3 or 4 year winning streak. Now I know some of them
42-0.
And I think they might have lost to Evangel at home, maybe. I don't remember who it was, but I remember Brad Bradshaw was still coaching me. No, remember what this program had just done, right? And Bashrop had sucked. I mean, they were the laughingstock for a long time before Brad Bradshaw did what he did. He called. I talked to him the next week. He goes, got my truck keyed. We NFL LSU for a reason. Yeah. LSU's always talent. We got as much talent front line as Bama does, as Georgia does, as anybody.
Yeah.
I think the real issue this year, though, is depth. The depth is not where it needs to be. I do think if everybody can stay healthy, I think they can win 9 to 10 games. I think worst case scenario, 6-6. I personally think best case scenario, it's going to be 8-4. It's kind of what my gut tells me, 8-4. But I think the depth is coming. I think they've done a great job already, and I'm so glad they kept Brad Davis because I think he's going to do great things along that line. I am a little bit worried from what I heard about. I'm excited yet worried that I hear a true freshman in Will Campbell's not so much starting. I think he's that talented, but I've heard he's already the leader, and I think that's in one way that says a lot about him. That's also another one. It's like, ooh, are we sure we want a true freshman to go into a room and be a leader like that? But maybe I'm looking way too much into that. Emory Jones, does he come in and play right away? I mean, then you've got two freshmen and talented.
Yeah.
Two freshmen in the SEC. I don't like that for this year, but I think that's great for future years. I think the future is very bright, and I do think this cycle that came through, this 2022 class, by the time they're seniors, if they decide to stay, I do think they're going to be in a playoff.
So what does that say about – so, because you mentioned possibly a freshman being a leader. If you look at Media Day, we had a sophomore go to Media Day and represented and very Besh. Well. Yeah, and Besh. What does that say about not necessarily those players, but this staff that they trust, you know, so it doesn't care, you know, youth, age, you know, if you've got the stuff, they don't, you know, step up and we'll, you know, give you that opportunity.
Well, and I think this goes back to the character thing we talked about. Like, you don't just go to Media Day because you're talented. You go to Media Day. Look, you're getting – you guys went and saw him not do that.
So we've seen him on Blake's show, and I kind of, you know, sent in through the chat a question. The best what do you want to plan on doing after football answer I have ever heard from anybody, professional, college, high school, Mike Jones, hands down.
Wow.
What do you say?
Not surprising. He's such a classic.
I have to go back and listen.
Yeah, you had to go back.
But I would not even do it justice.
Yeah, it was very thought. You know, you could tell he had thought it out, and it wasn't something that he was just, you know, spitting on the top of his head real quick. He had a plan. He had thought it out before.
Because he pretty much started by telling, first of all, by his father and how his father inspired him and how he wants to use that to inspire others. And it was, like I said, I would never do it justice. It was,
the only thing I can compare it to is he, I'm not saying this hasn't happened before. It just doesn't happen a lot. After the interview, I checked my text messages. It's him saying, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. That might not seem like a lot to some people, but that meant a lot to me. And again, I think that shows his character.
Awesome. So, hey.
20 years, go ahead, Ant,
because I was going to say, hey, I wouldn't, you know, thank you for staying on this long with
me. I enjoyed it, and I promise I'll try to have a much more professional setup if y'all have me back.
Let me end on this one. You've been in the game 20 years now. Right around, what's the craziest thing that's happened on air in your 20 years?
Do we have time for three stories?
Hey, we got
go ahead,
the craziest thing that I ever experienced was not on the air, but I was at Eddie Robinson's house the day he died.
Oh wow.
And I have never met Coach Robinson nor his wife. And here I am and some other media members sitting on his couch. Here's the thing. I think it was when we were about to get married and we had, I can't believe I'm saying.
Hold on, Sean, before you do that, hold on.
The views and opinions expressed in the Golden Boot podcast are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Golden Boot podcast as a whole.
This feels like my sabbatical, yes.
go ahead.
All right. So, no, I was just like, she's like, hey, we're getting married. We should stop for a while. Okay, sure, whatever. All right. When the bear's hungry, he's got to eat. But nobody paid attention to that. Reuben Randall story. So I had an interview set up with Reuben Randall like 2 days before signing day. I was like, this is going to be awesome. Like, this got so much pub. Like, I was like, this is going to be what makes us. So there was so many. I think his final three was down to Oklahoma, LSU, and Bama. Our server crashed 3 times because there were so many people listening.
Oh, wow.
And Reuben forgot he had baseball practice. So he forgot to come on.
Makes sense.
Which, again, if you know Reuben, is the sex story.
Well, if you know Reuben, Reuben Randall, that's not surprising though that he forgot he had baseball practice.
And I eventually did get him back, but not that day. And I was like, oh man, this sucks. But alas, the big guy was looking out for me because Reuben Randall's father called in. And Reuben's dad goes to explain, which really surprised me because D'Angelo Benton was Reuben's teammate at LSU. Mm-hmm. I mean, at Bastrop. And he says on my show, if D'Angelo Benton goes to LSU, Reuben's not going. At the time, D'Angelo was a verbal commit. But she said, it might have been the guy who was at UCLA. She goes, so-and-so wants to talk to you. I'm like, okay. I said, he goes, hey, Sean, it's Coach Whoever. Can you tell me what happened with Reuben's dad? I'm like, sure. And I start telling the story halfway through. He stops me. Hey, Sean, Coach Miles wants to talk to you. Oh. Shit. So this is all why I'm having my show is going on. I'm like, hey, Coach. Hey, Sean, how you doing, Coach Miles? Coach, what's up? Here, Reuben's dad called in. Yeah, Coach. Yeah, he did. You mind telling me the story? Yeah, Coach. I start telling the story again. He stops me. Sean, I tell you what. I got all our coaches in here in a meeting room. I'm just going to put you on speaker. Can you tell us what happened? Wow. Listen, all I know is this. 2 days later, Reuben Randall was a Tiger. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what happened those 2 days. Oh,
that's awesome, man.
Oh, man.
That was a good story. I ain't into stories, but I was interested.
I'm a master storyteller.
Chris, how are you a fisherman and don't like stories? That's all y'all do is tell stories.
That must be some boring ass fishing trips.
I can see it now. Soul ain't biting today.
Mm-hmm. You got a bite? Nope. What about you? Nope.
Man, hey, but Fox, man, that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Man, that story was good, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, that's gonna be in the book one day.
That's wow! Awesome.
Yeah, you need to write a book on that. Listen.
I've heard so many countless. I was told about a player who got like literally hidden, a basketball player from a school for 2 days. Like recruiting is crazy, man. Yeah, it's nuts.
So you finna come out with your own meat market book now?
Oh yeah, he froze. I heard you back and tell us some more stories.
Right now we're talking to his steel face.
All right.
he just texted me. It's all good, bro.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Sean Fox.
They did almost get beat by Frankston, though. Frankston was good that year, Blake. They did almost lose to Frankston, Blake.
Yeah.
07 with Brandon Taylor and them.
Hey, I get it, but almost don't count. All right, you got to beat him or you don't.
They got the closest to beating Bastrop, bro. Bastrop was the best team ever stepped foot in Louisiana.
All right.
Yeah, I wish you would have played Franklin too. We would have lost.
No, you didn't. Y'all would have lost.
All right, so let's. So we talked about LSU, and again, thank you for Chris. Not Chris. I'm sorry. Sean, you know, saying, hey, it was a great story, but I got to ask y'all this. Mm-hmm. Story came out this week that I think Jamar Chase told us, said that Joey B, Joe Shiesty, Joe Burrow, so he has no fashion sense. So he basically just gives his money to Jamar and says, go pick him out some clothes. First question. Do y'all trust your homeboy to get your drip right?
No.
Facts.
No, I'm no grown man is buying me no clothes. No, bro.
Yeah.
No, I'm good on that, dog.
What you mean?
I'm good on that, bro.
I mean, like you have people who you have people. Okay, let's take this. Uh-uh. Jamal Adams, right? Jamal Adams have a good sense of style.
Hey, but the funny part about the story, hold up, wait. The funny part about the story, Jamar said all he like is skinny jeans and khakis.
That's all Jamar like, or is that
no? That's all Joe like.
Is skinny jeans, man. And
y'all homeboys y'all got right now, y'all cool with them picking out y'all and buying y'all clothes.
Bro, I'll be honest with you.
I got one outlet to pick my stuff.
Yeah, my little brother got swag. My little brother, Daly, he got swag. So if he sees something that's fresh, I'm like, yeah, pick that up for me, bro. I got you. I'm a cash app. Yeah.
All right. So I got
a question. Because he can dress.
I got a question then. Daniel, which one of the fellow Golden Booters you let pick your swag for you?
None of y'all.
Wow.
Yeah, bro, I'm good.
Hey, look, I'm gonna say it like this, Chris. I'm gonna let Chris.
You right? For real? You need to let me pick it. I'm all kidding. Right.
Okay.
Hey, Chris gonna have me in some overalls.
What?
Chris gonna have you in about six different color plain t-shirts. You're gonna have a white tee, a gray tee, a black tee, a red tee, and a blue tee.
Nice jeans, a nice shoe.
Chris gonna have you in everything that you can find in Bass Pro Shop. All the different camo. The freshest Bass Pro Shop hat you can find.
Hey, the accessory. Oh, yeah. The accessory is gonna be the this season, bro.
With some lacrosse boots.
Right.
All right. Hey man, y'all too funny. All right. Tampa Bay's center Ryan Jensen suffered a left knee injury. He's out, expected to be out for months. I think they're trying to see the MRI says so they can determine how long. But they said it didn't look good when he got injured. Basically took his helmet off, slammed it on the ground, and was cussing. And we know that's telltale signs. I know he is he plays for a rival with Tampa Bay, but we do wish him a speedy recovery. Mm-hmm. This story is actually kind of funny. Jacksonville Jaguars had a rookie kicker that was cut after he missed the field goal and it hit him.
Good stuff, brother.
Congratulations to him. Wish him that I'm praying he can make the roster. I think he'll add.
He signed a three-year deal.
There you
see,
go.
Hey, last week what we said, one of the things, hey, maybe he's working on a deal.
I will say this though. I just want to give him a shout out. That man went from playing fan control football, arena league. That man, you know, USF. That's the true definition of chasing your dreams and never giving up. And I'm glad to see him make it, man. I hope he ball out. I'm not rooting for the Cowboys, but I'm rooting for Turpin.
All right.
Yeah. I'm
have a good night, Liv.
Love you, baby.
Have a good night from your favorite. Y'all know I'm a favorite, right?
No. Anyway.
So a story we talked about on Thursday. the Arizona Cardinals, the contract with Kyler Murray. Well, the clause in there about the 4 hours of studying has been removed. I guess it got a lot of backlash. Kyler was coming out saying that it doesn't mean anything. He definitely is dedicated to football. And I guess the stigma behind the whole having that in there.
He got mad at the media for making a
pretty much.
But my thing is,
you're mad at yourself.
You need to be mad at your agent, the team for putting it in there, and exactly, baby. I know, but you need to be mad at the agent, your agent for not telling you it was in there. Mm-hmm. You know, the team for putting it in there, and yourself for actually signing and agreeing to it. So I just felt like he didn't. I guess he didn't know it was in there, and when it came out, it was a bad look for him. And now he's trying to, you know, go at the people
trying to say
for making it a bad look at him. But you mad at the wrong people, bro.
But I mean, my thing is too, if you come out on a podcast and say that I don't watch much film, I don't do film study. I mean, like, come on, you're putting that on yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We all get that you're very talented, but if you do want to get to that next level, want to be in that upper echelon of quarterback, you have to put in a little bit more work. Because we saw toward the end of the season last year,
Debo got his what right before the show. I know Chris mentioned it.
Man, Debo is so underrated, bro. Golly.
But I think it's kind of, you know, both of them got their money whenever both of them are transitioning in the quarterbacks that might make their numbers go down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Smart. So exactly, you know, so they might not have got the most they could get, but they went ahead and got it now before their numbers go down and they don't mm-hmm. even get that much.
Yeah.
I suspect you got from Washington better than both of them.
Who? The guy from where?
Terry McLaurin.
From Washington, Terry McLaurin.
Oh man, I'll be honest with you. I don't see too many people that are better than Debo. I'm a Debo fan, bro.
Well, Debo a little different because he played running back.
I think Debo's versatility makes him the asset, you know, that he is. But
who's making more, DK or Debo?
I think DK making more.
I was trying to pull up the numbers, but I couldn't find anything clear.
Hey Debo, you need a new agent.
I don't know.
If this is right, no. 3 years, 72 million. Yeah,
$58 million guaranteed, bro. I need a new agent.
I want to make more than here. DK.
I need a new agent. I ain't hit the lotto either, so I need some. Hey, listen,
Debo, what's DK's?
If this is correct, 3 years, 72 mil.
Debo is just like 371, so pretty much right on.
But that doesn't tell me about, you know,
guarantee money.
Yeah, Debo got 58 million guaranteed.
And DK got 68.
I don't know. Let me see.
But yeah,
DK got 58.2, and Debo got 58.1.
Wow. Guaranteed. So how similar those numbers are? They got the same agent? Jesus.
Nah, but you know that's one. They pinning one against the other type stuff. But anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm
well, let me ask y'all this question real quick. Do y'all think DK is better than Debo?
I'm gonna go back with
NFL Plus. Would you subscribing?
Nope.
Not really though, because I mean, it's a good idea. If you don't like, if I didn't live in Louisiana in the Saints market, I could see myself subscribing to make sure I can watch Saints games.
All the games, yeah.
But I'm in my team's market, so if they on TV, I'm watching. So ain't no point in me to give them my, you know, 7 month or whatever it is.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this too. I got a subscription on my Fire Stick. I can watch all them things. I ain't telling you, so don't ask.
Chill
out, man. Just chill out, bro. You don't talk too much, then it's gonna be cut off. Man,
come on,
you gotta let everybody know your business, man.
Shout out to the plug.
Shout out to Fire Stick Plus. Moving to
hold on real quick. So did y'all hear about LSU coming out with a subscription for this upcoming season?
They got the gold package thing where you can watch
games on
camera. No, it's not games. It's like
behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind. You remember? All right. So you remember what they did on YouTube for the basketball team this year? The little mini series where they, you know, went behind the scenes and kind of they're gonna do that for like all the sports. Brian Kelly, you know, gonna have a little show, you know, stuff like that, so you can get more inside access.
I think that's gonna be pretty legit.
This was hopefully we'll get media passes and we won't need it.
Hey, if we get media passes and we be back down, be a groupie. I'm gonna be a groupie.
You're a groupie now. But, hey,
Dan, all right, man, don't ever do that again, bro.
All right. So moving back to college football, Pac-12 commissioner George Klavikoff says that we may see a college football extension by 2025.
They need to with all these super conferences.
Especially for the
what do you mean by
it was basically they if you haven't seen it, you can go out and look. It was starting tight end, starting defensive lineman, Coach Freeman, and then you had Mike Golick and Mike Golick Senior, and they did kind of a
It was the hangover
spoof.
The same one here. Yeah, the same when they meet in the desert and they flipped the light. Flipped the light and all that. I mean, it was I'll say this. It was a good idea. You know what I mean? I like the
created in Vegas. Yeah.
And then because it's announcing, they play their first game at the in Vegas or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's a good idea. But yeah. It was cringy to me.
I got a question for y'all.
The acting,
to be honest, I didn't see it, man. I bet it was cheesy.
The idea was cool, but the acting,
you go watch it, it's like because I watched, I was like, I was like, okay, and I was looking a little bit, I was waiting on to get funny, and I was just like, oh.
It's a little cringe.
Yeah,
Hey, Pooh so bougie.
it's one of them when you were like, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got a question though. Speaking of Notre Dame, everybody, I wanted to ask other people this, like, do any of y'all have a team? Like, we know we big LSU fans, but is it somebody else y'all used to root for that wasn't LSU, like in the Power Five?
Yes. Oh, in the Power Five?
In the Power Five? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Miami, if I'm being completely honest. I was a big fan of Ray Lewis and Sean Taylor and those guys.
I had two.
USC?
Yeah. Nah, not USC.
No, I'm talking about for me. But yeah, go ahead.
Texas, when Vince Young was there. I was a Texas fan. And then, believe it or not, I used to like Florida State a little bit. But just because they had the little horse, the person that rode the horse with the flaming spear and all that kind of thing.
I get it.
A lot of fans are gonna be mad at me though.
But that was live.
You better not say Alabama. You better not say Alabama.
Wasn't Bama. Okay. I never liked Bama.
You better not say Florida.
Wasn't Florida. It was Notre Dame and Stanford.
Oh, I ain't mad at you about that.
So
I don't really care about them.
So I used to like just simply because local athletes went there. Sherman Williams went to Alabama, so liked Alabama. Then you had Damian Craig and
Auburn.
Damian Craig and Larry Casher, DeMarco McNeil went to Auburn. Mm-hmm. T. Martin, of course, Tennessee. And then when I actually got to a point where I was liking teams, I was number five in high school, so I loved Miami, Andre Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But then it was after that.
But you know what? I would say
my Auburn story too. Why I can't stay in Auburn now.
I said Miami, but USC, bro.
Man, no.
Back when USC was dominant.
Man, how did y'all like USC whenever they said that they was the national champions the same year we was the national champions?
Oh, How you gonna rock with them because of that? I get it, but that was from looking at it from their point of view. I understand it. But we were the national championships. But at the time, there was no reason.
Stop it, bro! I hated USC. I hated USC. I was with Ali Broussard. Like, y'all bring that to Death Valley and let's see how good
that would have been. That would have been.
I was on some stuff like that. But I say this too: they really weren't Power Five back then. But they moved Power Five late. TCU. Just because they had a whole bunch of boys
they had
a whole bunch of boys from the crib, though. Monroe, Westmoreland guy.
Now,
I know a lot of people that like the TCU.
Hey, I tell you a team who I still cheer for to today. They weren't Power Five. They aren't Power Five. Boise State. Big Boise State.
When that game they beat Oklahoma was one of the best games I ever watched.
Man, the best game. Jared Branson and those guys, yeah.
Yeah. That, West Virginia and Oregon was fun to watch too back then.
I used to like West Virginia when they had Pat White and Steve Slayton and Noel Devine and all them.
Hey, what was the guy? The short dude. His high school.
Noel Devine.
Like 10 minutes. No, it wasn't Noel Devine. It was He played. Did he play? He didn't play for the Cowboys. Y'all know his high school film.
Oh, Tavon Austin.
Yes. His highlight tape was like 10, 15 minutes long, and it was
Tavon was cold. Hey, that whole
boy is different. Cold, he was different.
I used to think it was like Oklahoma, too, though.
No, I never liked
Oklahoma. I never liked Oklahoma.
Sam Bradford, no. Inglacius and all them. I used to like them.
Fellas.
What up?
We got 35 days till LSU kickoff.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
34 days in a couple hours.
True.
Thanks,
true.
Chris.
True.
Captain Obvious.
all right, quick question. Best week one matchup.
LSU versus Florida.
Florida State. We don't play Florida. We play Florida State.
Okay, Florida State. Y'all know what I was saying.
No, because we play Florida too, so that's two different games.
Okay, LSU versus Florida State. Of course, I do have my bias in there, but I'm ready to see. Now, I know Alabama's playing USC, right?
Nah.
Who's Alabama playing?
Nah, Alabama got play Texas week two.
Yeah, they got a Rudy Poole week one.
Okay.
That's week two. I think week one, you got
Georgia, Oregon.
Oregon.
Ooh, that's
going to
be
Utah, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Utah for the dub.
Is Notre Dame Ohio State week one? Ooh.
Notre Dame Ohio State.
Right.
Week one.
Yeah. Ooh. And Arkansas Cincinnati week one.
Dang,
man.
You got
Arkansas, worry about that.
Man, how y'all ain't worried about that? Cincinnati was in the playoff last year.
So
well, the Cincinnati last year, if they would have played,
yeah, they ain't gonna be in the playoffs again. Yeah.
And Oregon ain't gonna be good again this year neither. But you
talking about probably not. No, you're
so
right. You're
so
right about
what's the difference?
You're right about that.
No, I just said that Oregon gonna get beat this week.
That Ohio State and Notre Dame game.
To me, that's the best one probably.
And Florida and Utah too.
Give me Georgia, Oregon. I want to see what else. I do want to see just because Bo Nix.
And what? Not just that. You got Dan Lanning going against team he's just against. So man. It's a lot of good. You know,
oh, man. I know the dang Ohio State game gonna be hard to beat.
Yeah, it is.
That's fact. Hey, and the good thing about it though is they play like different times of the day, so you can watch both of them. You know what I mean? You ain't got to flip back and forth.
Bro, I'm watching football all day.
All right. I do want to touch on this a little bit. I didn't get the video just simply because of copyright issues and stuff. But there's a video circulating with Delonte West. It looks like he's at a gas station or on a street, and he's talking to someone about what he's gone through, and they're asking him, you know, who is he, and you know, and he was telling them, and the kid says, "You played for Chicago?" He said, "No, I played with Cleveland." He said, "So you played with LeBron?" He said, "Yeah." And he's smiling. And he was like, I'm hearing the echo.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so he says, someone asked, you know, "You don't have anyone to help you or your family?" He said, "I was helping. I was the one providing all the money and stuff." He said, "So no one's helping you?" And he said, "Nah, you know." I know especially in our culture, a lot of times when we see people so high up and they fall, and I agree. Ms. Nikki says people are out of line for recording him. Have some decency. True. In our culture, when we see people who you know once had this high status and they fall, we tend to pull out a phone instead of pulling out
American culture.
You know what I'm saying? Pulling out help. This isn't the first time that Delonte's, you know, been, you know, recorded or seen for having him. Now, the one thing I'll say, he looks a lot healthier. He doesn't look like the Delonte that we know him to be, but he looks a lot healthier than he had before. But mental health is a serious issue. We talked about it and touched on it several times.
Right.
If you see somebody help somebody, you never know. I'm thankful that he still was of sound mind to at least be encouraging, to have a positive word for the young man and the mother that, you know, he was talking to. So kudos for that. But I really do hate that it came out with the just pull out your phone, record. And
if I can say this too, man, I feel like we're all one decision away, one mental breakdown away from being in that same position. You know what I'm saying? It's not, people think, oh man, you lost all your money, you become homeless. No, that's not always the case. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people just have mental health issues. Not only that, you might have, you might drink something, right, that you didn't know. You know what I'm saying? And it affects you in a different way. So, I mean, you never know. You never know, man, what someone else is going through. And
I like thought the owner of the Mavs was helping him out a little
bit. He did put him in some rehab and stuff. But at the same time, and I'm not saying this is, you know, Delonte's situation, but you got to want to help yourself sometimes too. You know what I mean? We can't always save everybody. But at the same time, I will say, Daniel, you're 100% correct. It ain't even a decision sometimes. We won medical diagnosis away. You know what I mean? We won a storm away from a tornado, house fire. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You anything away from, you know, being in that situation. And it's not necessarily what you did to put you in that situation. So I just, like Miss Nigga said, just have some decency. You know, be a little more thoughtful. You know, not always judgmental, because we never know what people are going through to put them in that situation.
And not only that, you know, I went to church today, man, and I didn't go. I listened because I was coming back from New Orleans. But preacher spoke on just showing grace. You know what I'm saying? Showing grace and showing mercy, because, man, I mean, that's what we all need at the end of the day. Just show grace, man. You don't know what that guy been through. You know what I'm saying? And for you to judge, and yeah, that's crazy. You muted.
All right. Sorry about that. So last thing I'll say. Now I guess it wasn't that important. I forgot. And you just said, or then you know, one mistake away or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not. I'm old enough to remember that we were just in a pandemic and found out that even some of these large companies are one paycheck away from being in
that's
the same position.
That's a very good point.
A lot of people in. So,
very good point.
That's facts.
All right. Before we move on to the altar call, we do want to say something. So,
we send our condolences to the family of Mr. Bill Russell, born in Monroe, Louisiana, raised in Oakland. He's not only one of the greatest basketball players ever. He's one of the greatest humans ever. You can see his stats and accolades on the screen. 11 titles, 5 MVPs, 2 NCAA titles and a gold medal. But he also is a recipient of the Congressional Medal of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and was one of the civil rights pioneers alongside Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, and other great athletes of his time. So we really want to say rest in peace, Mr. Bill Russell. Truly a great on and off the court.
All right. Condolences, man. That was
That one hurt, bro.
I would say, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch, but someone put a clip. They did a thread of all the videos of, you know, in the 70s, 60s. And, you know, every time I seen Bill Russell, it was always kind of like, you know, the older Bill Russell, and just a cool dude. But to see him back in the day giving interviews, and he had a laugh that was pretty good laugh.
I will say this, not to make it, you know, that kind of topic, but He put up all those accolades in Boston dealing with racism and, you know, dealing with all kind of things that none of us could imagine. So I just want people to truly realize how great he was. You know, you can look at his numbers don't look great, you know, points and all that, but go back and watch him play. He was truly a selfless player. You know, he didn't care about points and all that. All he cared about was winning, and he's the greatest champion ever.
And also,
he won 2 titles as a player coach, and he's the first black head coach in team sports in America. So he really was a trailblazer.
All right. Well, I guess we can paper, rock, scissors who go first, but y'all know what time it is. All right, who we got going first? Chris, you want to go first? We'll let you do the honors. All right. Waiting on you, Chris.
He nervous.
Okay, well, I want to bring my boy Mike Thomas to the altar, man. Yeah, Mike started off the season on the pup list. I know it wasn't for long. I know it was a short time. But Mike been gone 2 years. I was wondering, how did you start out on the pup list, man? You should have never started out on the pup list. We need you on the field. We need you playing. We need you healthy. We want to see why you got that $100 million. But I think he's going to have an awesome season. We just, whoever his doctors is, we don't need no more foot injuries. We need that to be over with. No more pup list, no more unable to perform or whatever they do in the NFL. We need you on the field. We need you this year.
All right. Who got number two? Who going? Who going?
I go.
All right.
All right. So my boy Jimmy B. Butler, come to the altar. Come to the altar, my guy. So listen, we know that a lot of people get hair extensions, right? Women get hair extensions. Men who are losing their hair get hair extension. Men who are losing their lining, I may have to look into it. They get hair extensions and fake hair and all that stuff. Honestly, my barber, whenever I go get a haircut, he puts some of that stuff on my head. And I don't know what it's called, but man, it looks good. And it makes it look like I have a better hairline than I do. But it's okay. But I want to shout out my boy, Jimmy. Jimmy, I like that you're living your truth. You know what I'm saying? I like the dreads. I think it's beautiful, man. And the internet right now, they're getting on you. But live your truth and walk in the light of the dreadhead gods. All right. If you want to, you know, wear your hair back and forth and do your thing, bro, let it hang. Shout out to Jimmy, man, for living his truth. I respect it.
He said beautiful.
That man said, whip his hair back and forth.
Wow. All right. Aunt, you read it?
Yeah, I'll go, bro. Oh man! All right, so Patrick Mahomes was—he had an interesting quote saying how it's funny how him, Kyler, and Lamar Jackson have to keep proving themselves as quarterbacks in the league. And we've seen this double standard for 60 plus years. Back when Marlon Briscoe first started a game as a black quarterback in 1968. Oh, but we've seen the NFL say that black quarterbacks aren't. They don't make good enough decisions. They can't read the field good enough, or they don't have the mental capacity to diagnose plays. And we've seen that make guys like Warren Moon have to go to the Canadian League before they get a shot. Or we've seen guys like Randall Cunningham not get their fair shake until later in their career. We've seen Steve McNair not get recruited to hot D1 colleges, and people saying he needs to switch positions to safety. The same thing we've heard about Lamar Jackson coming into the league. So I just want to know when are we going to stop putting black quarterbacks behind the eight ball and saying that they're not smart enough or they're not capable enough? Whenever we've seen them come win MVPs, win Super Bowls, and play at an elite level, just like we've seen their counterparts do the same thing. Yeah, I'm not saying that Kyler, Lamar, and some of these other black quarterbacks don't have question marks, but you can, just like they have question marks, you can, Justin Herbert and other quarterbacks in this league have question marks about them too. So evaluate all the quarterbacks on the same level and stop with the double standard when it comes to black quarterbacks.
That's good.
All right. I hope this don't I hope I don't get in trouble for this one. All right. Here we go.
Quick message, man. I know I just tweeted this, but I wanted to look in your eyes and tell it to you now. To the young man who tried to convince his teammates every day that he really from the streets, that he really a gangster, that he really bought that life. Let me tell you something, bro. If you want to be in the streets, go be in the streets. The streets own 24/7. Funeral home booming. So if you want to be in the street, go be in the streets. But stop bringing that negative energy around people who trying to escape this. Why you think your teammates where they at right now? Because they want better. You know it's back home. Nothing. You see it every time you go. So stop playing games with yourself. Trying to convince your teammates that you're really from the streets. And just cause your cousins them come to the game and your homeboys them come on campus and your teammates can look at them and say, oh yeah, that boy really from the street. What that mean? Cause if your homeboys and your cousins cared anything about you, you know what they'll tell you? Bro, God done bless you now. Take your blessing and run with it. But get off them people campus with that foolishness. I know in our culture, we don't go viral for going to college. We go viral when somebody kill you, though. You go viral when you go to jail. If you want to be in the streets, go be in the streets. Get somebody else that opportunity. But stop bringing that negative energy around people who trying to escape this, man. Lock in and do what you came there to do.
I just want to thank Pastor Plies for delivering a message that should be, you know, heard, you know, a long time ago. See, back when I was growing up and before, a lot of kids who were very talented, the quote unquote dope boys would tell them to get off the corner. Hey, you got too much talent. You need to go. There have been several stories of athletes telling where they said that they wanted to do something to make a quick buck to help their family out. And the people would tell the people of the streets would tell them, nah, that's not your avenue. You got too much talent. You got something promising for you. I need you to step away. We've gotten away from that. We got to a point where it's better to be on TikTok or Instagram and all any social media platform to show that, hey, I'm successful. You know, I am the Joneses. Keep up with me. But we fall apart. I know way more doctors than I do D1 athletes. I'll say that. I know way more people making six figures than I do NFL players. Hey, we can't all be that. But you can. What you can do is keep that positive attitude. Keep that mentality away from those who are trying to do well. They say misery loves company. Well, sometimes you got to be alone. All right, fellas, one more thing before we can get up out of here. I forgot it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it now. Boom, boom, boom. The Pulse of the People poll of the week. We asked, where will LSU finish in the SEC West? And after 284 votes, it was voted that 46.8% say we'll finish third. 32.4% say we'll finish second. 10.9 say we'll finish fourth or worse, and 9.9 said we finish in first.
I like the optimism from that 9.9.
I do. I do as well. Fellas, it was a good one. I appreciate y'all. Sean Fox, you know, thank you again for coming on. It's always a pleasure to hear you speak and to have you on and talk with you.
Great story. That story is fire.
we'll have you back on again, brother. Yeah. Hopefully your internet better.
All right. Well, with that being said, fellas, I guess that's it. We'll see y'all in like that. We're out.
Yeah.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on Twitter at Golden Boot. On Instagram at Golden Boot. On YouTube at The Golden Boot Pod. On Facebook at The Golden Boot Pod.
Golden Boot!
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's PAYCOR.com/leaders.